We're thankful for the answered prayers that we've had lately here at Pleasant View in regard to some that have been sick and couldn't be with us. And Aaron Pirtle, as mentioned earlier, is with us today after quite extended illness related to some knee surgery that he's had. And of course, Wanda's with us, and she's still doing some rehab and things related to her stroke. So thankful to see Eddie with us today. He's had a bout of shingles, and we know that how painful that is. We're thankful to see him today, and we know there are others that are still out and couldn't be with us today, but we're thankful for those that are here, thankful for your prayers on their behalf, as I know they're thankful for those, and we're thankful that God has blessed those people and their families through a difficult time in their life. So we're very thankful for our God who loves us, continues to guide us, continues to watch over us throughout our lives. And there's evidence of that today. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful that you've blessed so many of our number today and that they are still recovering from various illnesses. We pray that you continue to bless their lives and see them through these things. We know there are many others who are out and still facing various illnesses, but we pray that you put your hand upon them to strengthen them as well. We know that through trials, our faith grows. If we learn our lessons, if we learn about you and about the things you've given us, it's in those times where our health is not good that we appreciate our health. It's in the times we lose jobs and we lose money and we lose those things that we realize how much you blessed us materially. It's when we experience hurt and trial that we often grow in our faith, and we're thankful for the lessons that we can learn when things are not perfect. We pray that you continue to bless this congregation as we strive to do your will. We know that we fail many times to do that. We're weak people, and we miss the mark that you've set many times, and we pray that you continue to forgive us of our sins as you promised you would. Bless our study this morning. That all that is said and done here be to your glory and according to your will, so that your name will be glorified and that we understand that worship is not about us, it's about you. You are the audience. We pray that your name is glorified and that we express in our way what you have meant to us, both yesterday and today, and Lord, if there be a tomorrow, that we will continue to express our love for you. We're thankful for your word and your son and all the blessings you give us through him. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would say that all of you have had a time in your life when you have considered somebody, whether it's a family member or a friend, and you've looked at them and you said, mind your own business. I don't want you in my business right now. I don't want you asking me about this thing in my life or being part of this thing in my life or trying to give your advice and give your insight into my life. Say, stay out of my business. And then when you want them in your business or you need them for something, they are gone. They're disappeared. Seems like they're never really there at the right time. One moment you're saying, get out of my business. Next moment you want them around and they're not there. I think we've all had experiences like that at some point in our lives. And you think of both of those situations in the extreme. When you say, well, I don't want people in my business. Well, let's think of that in the extreme. Let's think if we all felt that way. If we didn't want anybody involved in our lives whatsoever. Just leave me alone. Well, if that were true of all of us, we come here this morning, we'd never ask somebody, how are you doing? We'd never mention these that have been sick that are back with us. We would never want to hold the babies. We wouldn't want to discuss what's going on in the world because everybody wants to be left alone. So we would all just come in here and be dead silent. We'd sit in here and have our worship service and leave the building and go back to our homes. Nobody'd ever talk. Nobody'd ever say anything. Well, you know that wouldn't be a way to live. That wouldn't be an enjoyable life if that were the case. So we don't want to live on that extreme where we have no connection with each other's lives. But then we look at the other extreme. And let's say that we all wanted some each other to be very close to us. We wanted them to be part of everything that we did and know about everything in our life and know about our relationships and know about our finances and know about every ache and pain we ever had. And let's imagine a world like that, and on that extreme, where every day we were constantly involved in each other's lives and constantly involved in the decisions that other people made and how they raised their children and what they did and what they said and all that sort of thing. We would drive each other crazy. We could have nervous breakdowns if that were the case. We'd bother each other to death. So we can see where neither extreme is really the way we want to live. We don't want to be completely disconnected from people, and we don't want to be so involved in other people's lives that we just worry each other to death. So where is the balance between stay out of my business and get into my business? Where's the medium in there? Where's the center? Where's the balance? You know, the Bible addresses those issues. The Bible condemns what Paul described as being a busybody. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:11 to do your own business, to take care of yourself. The Bible tells men, take care of your families, to focus on your own life and what you're doing and taking care of yourself. But also, at the same time, does discuss meeting the needs of others. And Paul, in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, beginning of verse 1, said, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty deceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Not merely looking out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Paul gave us the balance. Paul didn't say just look at yourself only every day and ignore the world around you. And he also doesn't teach that we should constantly be so involved in the lives of others we neglect ourselves. He simply stated, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. This morning, what I want us to do is to look at three areas within the church, three responsibilities within the church, where the Bible teaches that basically don't mind your own business. Don't mind your own business. We won't so much look today at how we take care of ourselves. I want us to focus in on things in the church where we do need to mind the interests of others and look to their lives and their spiritual well-being in the ways the Bible teaches us to, not to be just simply meddling in someone's life, not to be a dictator, not to tell somebody else how to live, but areas in which the Bible tells us you don't need to mind your own business. First area I want us to look at, first responsibility in the church, where the Bible says don't mind your own business, is in the work of the eldership. And I know we've been discussing that here at Pleasant View, and in a short while I believe that we will have godly elders here at Bethel. There I did it. Almost 2 years. There it was. I'm not at Bethel. This is Pleasant View. In the work of elders here at Pleasant View. The Bible clearly teaches that for men to be godly elders, they can't simply look at themselves. They have a responsibility to look into the affairs of those that they shepherd. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible uses the word pastor for elder. Those words are synonyms. Pastor is not the preacher. There's another word in the same verse for evangelist. But it's different than the word that he says for pastor, and it simply means to be a shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 5 also talks about how elders shepherd the sheep. And that's not an accidental word. That's not just something Paul used to describe through inspiration, just thought he'd throw a word out there that was meaningless. It's a very, very specific word. And thinking of how shepherds lead sheep. Elders have oversight of the congregation. Hebrews 13 talks about that the leaders of the church are those who rule and watch over the flock. They take care of the flock. We studied 1 Timothy chapter 3 and all the things that an elder would do to take care of the flock. We know that there are three key words really that show the work of the elder and how he does mind the business of those in his congregation. We know that an elder should keep the sheep from straying. Shepherds do that with real sheep. Elders do that with the souls of the congregation, because they need to be kept. We would look at a shepherd, and if a shepherd wasn't concerned about where the sheep go and what they do, and they wander away to a place where there's no water, no food, wouldn't be a very good shepherd. We'd say it's a bad shepherd. In the same way, spiritually, if you have an elder that just simply dismisses and just, well, not really interested in where the member of this congregation wanders off to, we'd say, well, it's probably not a very good elder. The Bible says that elders keep the sheep. Luke 15, in those parables that Jesus taught, said that about the lost things. We know that elders, particularly related to that passage, how they fit into that was they always go seek the ones that are straying. They don't only try to keep them, but if one does go away, he goes and seeks it. That was the ministry of Jesus. He said, if a man has 99 and one strays, he goes and finds one. He doesn't just simply rest on the fact that he has 99. And well, one more leaves, and now, well, we still have 98. One more leaves, well, 97's not bad. That the one is just as important as the 99. The one is just as important as the 98. If there's five and one leaves, one is just as important as the four. Whatever the number may be, the ministry of Christ was to do that. The ministry of an elder, which is a ministry by definition, is to look at a congregation and say, every single soul here matters just as much as any other soul. The godly elder is going to keep the sheep from straying. He's going to seek those that have strayed. And he's going to protect, the third word is protect, the sheep from the wolves. And Paul said that to those Ephesian elders in Acts 20, those men that he had worked with for 3 years, or 3.5 years. And he said, there's going to be wolves that are coming in sheep's clothing. And he was talking, of course, more about doctrinal matters, about those who would come in and teach different things. So an eldership, a godly elder or an eldership, will protect the congregation from things that sound good but are not biblical. Things that look attractive, look like us, and something that's in sheep's clothing on the surface has an appearance of what is right, but inside is not. A godly elder would keep and seek and protect. And all of those ways, you can see that an elder, to an extent, does not mind his own business. But of course, the Bible also puts a level of restraint on that by saying you don't lord it over the people, the work of an elder. And we only have one Lord. We have one Lord. We have one Master. Jesus said that. He said, you serve me or you serve the other, but you don't serve both. All elders do are simply taking the congregation and pointing those people toward Christ, and telling those people to live for Him as the only Lord. An eldership is not a group of dictators who direct their own way and have a church go the way of them, but the elders simply say, we go the way of Christ. The second area in which the Bible says you don't mind your own business, there's a level at which you have to be involved in the lives of people, is in the situation of preaching and teaching. And I'm talking generally, of course, about just the work of preaching. 2 Timothy 4:1, Paul told Timothy, that young evangelist that was, seems like, very discouraged in being a minister. Paul always had to encourage him, and don't let anybody look down on you, and always attend a public reading of Scripture and all those things. And he looks at Timothy and he just simply said, preach the word. Now, some preachers miss that verse. They just see the word preach and they don't see the word. Because there's a lot of men that stand up every Sunday and preach, but they don't preach the Word. They do a lot of preaching. They preach about themselves. They preach about things that have nothing to do with the Bible. They do a lot of preaching, but Paul told Timothy to preach the Word, to expose God's Word to people, to open up God's Word and say, here is what God's Word says. Preach the Word. And he went on to say that there are times in which the preaching involves reproving and rebuking. He said, reprove and rebuke. Well, how do you do that if you don't know what the people are doing? You don't involve yourself and the congregation know what needs to be addressed. How could Timothy reprove and rebuke if he doesn't know what's out of place? It just assumes that that would be the case. And there's a time for that type of preaching. But again, it's not the preacher saying, live like me. Live the way I want you to live. You may have heard preaching like that, where you have the impression that the preacher is simply saying, live like me. Live the way I want you to live. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, of course, that the Bible is the critic of your life. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide soul and spirit, bone and marrow and all those things. That the Word of God is what penetrates your mind and your heart. It's this message, not the person delivering the message. The best preachers are those that teach in a way that where someone loves the Bible more having heard that preacher, or those preachers, or whatever the case may be. Those Sunday school teachers, those lessons you may read in a magazine or a story or hear a sermon, whatever. The best preachers are those that have students that leave and love the Bible more and want to conform more to God's Word, not to simply live based on how this person says I should live. And that's how, if it's about the preacher, those are churches that dissolve. If it's about the preacher, that's how cults get started. That's how you read about preachers and others whose lives fall apart, who have personal problems of an extreme nature, because their egos have been elevated to the point where they feel like it's all about them. They are the central focus of the particular congregation. And then that house of cards collapses because it's not about God's Word. But for good teaching and preaching to take place, teachers and preachers have to some extent, not mind their own business, to allow God's Word to be the critic and the encourager of people's lives. The last area this morning I want us to think about, where we look and just, the Bible says, don't mind your own business. Yes, there are times you need to mind your own business. You take care of your family. You take care of your responsibilities and your relationship with God and all those things. Yes, do those. But there are areas where you don't mind your own business. Elders, to an extent, don't mind their own business. Preachers, to an extent, don't mind their own business. And really, all of us. The third point is that every person here has a responsibility at some point not to mind their own business. Jesus talked about it so much. Luke chapter 10, maybe one of the most famous parables in the world. The other would be the parable of the prodigal son. Is of course the parable of the Good Samaritan. And if that parable teaches anything, it's the fact that the Samaritan didn't mind his own business. Because the priest and Levite walked by the man that had been beaten up by the side of the road, and what was their thought? I only have to care about me. I only have to care about where I'm going and what I'm doing and how righteous I am and how faithful I am. Jesus in that parable said, it's not all about you. It's not just about your business. He told that parable of the Samaritan walks by and he said, that man needs me, and if he needs me, that's my business. Because the man had started, the question that started the parable was, who is my neighbor? Who am I responsible for? And the man, of course, wanted Jesus to confine it to the Jews, confine it to people that had their same heritage and believed their things and all that. And so he tells a parable about a Samaritan, the half-Jew, half-Gentile, that the Jews didn't like. They walked along when the other religious leaders walked by, and he said, "This man is my business. I have something that he needs, and so I need to help him." We can't help everybody because we don't have the resources to. We may not have the talent that is needed for a particular situation. We may not have the money that's needed for a particular situation. But if our thoughts are only that it's up to somebody else, and we never do anything to support, we use none of our resources, we use nothing that we have for the lives of others, then we're disobeying Christ and what he taught. Every Christian has a responsibility, to some extent, to mind the business of others when they need us. Galatians chapter 6, beginning of verse 1, listen how Paul teaches the Galatians how to be involved in the lives of others. He said, "Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual..." So you've got those caught in a trespass, and then you've got everybody else that's not, those who are spiritually fit. He said, "Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with one who teaches him. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, he will also reap." And he goes on to connect people with each other. He starts off by saying, if someone's caught in a trespass, the rest of you restore such a one who is gentle, but not to a point where you get involved in the thing too. He said, don't be tempted by that thing either. Be careful. Watch yourself. Don't think you're too much. Don't think you're something when you're nothing, or you're deceiving yourself, you're lying to yourself. You can get caught up in the same thing. And he said, along those lines, he said, you take care of yourself, but you also have responsibility to others. And he went on to talk about, he said, if the connected part of the church, he said, if you receive the word, if you're taught, then you share with the one who teaches. If you receive, you give. And the one who gives, he receives. And we all just go back and forth. And he went on to talk, he added to that, if you sow, you reap. Give, you get. They're connected in the church. And he goes on to explain more about the process of sowing and reaping. Yes, we have responsibility to ourselves and our personal faith, the things we do the Word commands us to do by faith. But there is also an extent where we do need to mind the business of others. We do not need to dictate their lives. We do not need to stress others out by getting too far into their lives and causing our own burdens by taking on too much of the lives of other people. But the Bible says elders need to be involved in the lives of people, mind the business to an extent of others. Preachers need to mind the business of the congregation to the extent of knowing what needs to be taught from God's Word. And we all have a responsibility, when others need us, to mind their business. Use whatever talents we have, whatever resources we have, to do the best we can for those around us. Being careful not to be caught in any temptation. Simply to exchange, to give what we can, and then for others to do the same. We do need to mind the business of others. And we do it, of course, because Jesus minded our business first. Jesus got involved in our lives. Jesus did not stay in heaven and simply look down on the world and say, "I'm not going to dirty my hands. Those people are horrible. They've done so many bad things. I'm not going to go interact with those people." He got involved in our lives. He didn't mind his own business. Back in Philippians chapter 2, after Paul said, "Regard one another as more important than yourselves," He brought Jesus into the situation. Talked about what Jesus did in that regard. The next verse, he said, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Paul said, we regard one another as more important than ourselves. We look out for the interests of others, because that's what Jesus did for us. That he came here and emptied himself, be found in appearance as a man, became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. God now highly exalted him. He came down to this earth, then he went up to heaven. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Go down, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He will lift you up. We mimic Christ. We do so, and we're considered faithful. We encourage you this morning, if you're not a Christian, to not hesitate any longer to make a yes decision for Jesus. Every day of your life that goes by that you don't obey the gospel is a no decision for Jesus. You think, well, no, I don't say that. I don't think that way. Well, that's what you're doing, because you're refusing to accept what God is giving you, and that's eternal life through Jesus by being obedient to the gospel. So if you never confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repented of your sins, been baptized into Christ, you can do that today. We'll baptize you. The Lord will add you to the church. If you just simply need prayers of encouragement, as we've read in Galatians chapter 6, if there's a weakness, an area of your life where you've strayed away and you simply say, I need prayers of encouragement from those who are faithful, as the Word says, then we'll pray with you and help you in that way. Whatever it is this morning, we encourage you to come now while we stand and sing.